The 2013 UP Book Tour is well underway here in the Upper Great Lakes, and there are events going on tonight and tomorrow night in Marquette County with evening readings in the Butler Theater in downtown Ishpeming tonight at 7, and then again tomorrow there's activity at the Negaunee Public Library. With me are two of the 41 authors who are just kind of weaving their way through the Upper Peninsula at stops at libraries and bookstores all over in this UP Book Tour. I have with me Sue Harrison, a native of Pickford, and also Beverly Mathern, that we all know here from Northern Michigan University. So we have a combination of fiction and poetry here in the studio at the same time. Yes. And Sue, first of all, this is your second tour with the UP Book Tour, isn't it?
It is.
Mm-hmm. And how exciting is it?
It's so exciting. It's just so much fun to come out of my little corner in my office and go out in the wide world and see other people and meet other people who love books and stories and poetry like I do, and many who are writing it. Wow.
Yes.
I'm isolated. I don't usually have that great contact.
Well, speaking of the wide world, you have used the setting of early Alaska as the backdrop for several of your stories.
Yes. Six of my books are set in ancient Alaska, two trilogies. Three of them set about 9,000 years ago based on dating from volcanic ash layers, and three of them set about 6,000 years ago.
Okay. Mother Earth, Father Sky started it all?
Yes, it did.
Yes. And the concept of a trilogy, is this a more comfortable way for you to assemble the storylines?
I would love to say that it was all thought out so well.
What author does that?
I had this huge, more than 1,000-page manuscript being rejected for 5 years until some poor agent, sweet agent, finally broke down and told me, you need to divide this up into three books so it's more manageable.
Okay.
And once I did that, it didn't take long to find a publisher.
So instead of writing the Odyssey, you just wrote a few short trips.
Exactly. Yes. I've never heard it put that way before. It's perfect.
Well, it's obviously been successful for you.
It has.
You've done two different types of trilogies.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. They've gone all over the world. Mm-hmm. Who would believe that? 13 languages and 25 countries, but I'm counting South America as one country, so that's not exactly fair. So anyway, it's done very well.
Okay. And now, from what I understand through checking your website, you're currently writing based on inspirational themes, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I am. I'm trying to, I guess, give a more spiritual depth to my work. And that's where I am in my life, just mm-hmm. saying, wow, there's more than just right now, right here. It's a difficult transition, and I have not found a publisher yet, but I have an agent who's very enthusiastic, and that's encouraging.
Is that the same one who helped you divide your...
No, my former agent wrote a wire, retired, unfortunately, after watching the Twin Towers fall.
Oh, I see.
She decided... Maine sounded very good to her. And so I lost my beloved agent, but I found another wonderful agent.
Okay, that's great. Well, what is some of the work that you're currently writing or have most recently published?
The Way North, mm-hmm. this beautiful anthology put together by Ron Rickey. I have a short story called Una Corda. In my other life, I love music, and there's a lot of music in my life. So this is a little slice of life story about music. I'm also writing for an online women's magazine, do two columns a month. And that's great fun. And writing for a Canadian, I guess, online blogger, mm-hmm. And doing how to write a book kind of a thing, to write a novel.
I was just going to ask you if you were blogging as well.
Yeah, yes. And on my own site, just SueHarrison.com. That's where I am.
Okay. Now, Beverly Mathern is also in the studio with me, and we all know you as a poet, and you've also done editing of other people's works and translations and so forth, but this time it's It's fiction writing that you're involved
yes,
in.
Yes, I'm going to do a little reading this morning after Sue. Okay. It's part of the short story of mine that appears in The Way North.
Okay.
And I'm just finishing up my next book, and it's short fiction and prose poetry, so it'll be all prose.
Oh, okay. It's just a little switch over from what you're normally mm-hmm. doing that mm-hmm. we are, mm-hmm. For those of you who are not familiar with but should be, Beverly has written a lot of poetry that's also been adjoined by musical mm-hmm. Performance as well, and kind of a look back to, well, I don't want to degrade it or anything, like beat poetry, if you will, but it's more like blues poetry and so forth. But now you're doing short fiction and prose. Well,
it doesn't mean I'll quit doing poetry.
No, I didn't expect you to either. Well, Sue, let's hear a portion from Una Corda, which again is from Ron Reike's anthology called The Way North.
This little story is set in the early 1900s, and I will not read the whole thing to you. It's a small girl who has come to Sault Ste. Marie to go to school. And she has to board, so she is cleaning the opera house. The Sioux used to have an opera house located on Arlington Street, burned down about 1910. And this little girl has never heard music before except the human voice. And this is her reaction to Ludwig von Beethoven's 14th Piano Sonata, Opus 27, Number 2, Third Movement. It's commonly known as Moonlight. And so here's what she feels. To her surprise, the electric stage lights were on, and a boy was sitting at the pianoforte, its top wing lifted so that it looked like a bird unsettled in its nest. As if Mary were his cue, the boy began to pound frantic music into the white and black keys. The notes roared up the aisle and rudely pounced. They flayed Mary's skin, ate through to her bones. She fell to the runner that carpeted the floor, lay there until the music finally stopped and drained away to far corners. The silence healed Mary's bones, and when they knit themselves into a reasonable union, she sat up. The boy stood beside her. His skin shone so pale that had she come upon him in the night, he might have made her believe in ghosts. His hair was white and his eyes were pink, but most of all she noticed his hands, so beautiful that Mary's chest hurt when she looked at them. What was that? Mary asked.
Wow. That's a great introduction to music. Wonderfully described. I can see it in my mind's eye right away.
That's great. Oh, you know how fast that third movement is when anybody but me is playing it.
A classic, to say the least. Yeah. Yes. Now, Beverly, again, you have a selection in this anthology as well. And what is it called?
It's called Amira.
Amira?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's the name of a young girl in the story. And
okay.
It so happens that the two women in the story talk about burial practices in their families.
Okay.
And the young woman's mother has very recently passed away, and the young Indian woman, and then the other young woman, her father has passed away.
Okay.
And so death then becomes a theme between them. And they're marooned in a restroom at the Detroit airport because their flight has been canceled, and so they talk till 2 and 3 in the morning and really get to know one another.
Okay.
So it's just a little tiny snippet, and I'm skipping the part about the cremation because of time, but here's what Amira says. Each day, for 12 days, my brother brought our mother her favorite dishes. That's the custom. Bananas and guava, green beans with coconut, fish cooked in dates and yogurt sauce. On banana leaves, Amira added. Raj brought her everything on banana leaves, sometimes steamed in banana leaves. We eat everything with banana leaves, she explained. Then Raj brought Mother coins to give to the boatman when she arrived at the underworld. The boatman? That blows my mind, John said. I know, Amira said. there must have been some sort of common root between the Greeks and my tribe. So I have to skip down. And now Amira asks John, what about rituals in her family, burial rituals? And John says, well, younger folks favor funeral parlors. But elders do things the old way, especially if they're fairly well off and their houses packed with antiques. See, we used to build into our beds a contraption that allows you to prop the mattress at an incline, the headboard up and the footboard down. Every bed was engineered with the ultimate in mind, the display of the corpse, either in the bedroom itself or in one of the parlors if the family expects a lot of visitors. Because of the heat down there, we place huge tubs of ice under the bed to keep the body as fresh as possible. Gathered bed skirts, rather ornate, hide the metal tubs. I don't believe it, Amira said. Today, in the United States? Well, tradition is king in Louisiana, says Jean. Funerals, like weddings, are carefully staged, dramatic spectacle. And who can outdo whom is the name of the game. Plus, depending on the weather and how much you pay the embalmer, the battle against the inevitable is sometimes unsuccessful. We stay up all night with the deceased, Jean added. This is an ancient Christian custom, practiced to assure that the body is not violated in any way. We sip black coffee from silver urns reserved only for wakes, and we cover mirrors throughout the house with black crepe to make sure the soul doesn't fly through one of them and get lost before its ascension into heaven. And I should probably quit because of time. Yeah.
Again, very descriptive. And it is practically an ancient custom, that type of burial custom mm-hmm. down in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, again, we've been talking with Sue Harrison and Beverly Mathern, who both have submissions that are part of The Way North, the anthology that was compiled by Ron Reike, who is also the one responsible for all of this chaos that's called the UP Book Tour. And again, there are sightings of authors that are taking place tonight and tomorrow in Marquette County. Tonight at the Butler Theater in downtown Ishpeming, there will be, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different authors at the Butler Theater event tonight. And then tomorrow night, the Negaunee Public Library, and next door in Negaunee, will also have public reading at 7. Or you can get all of the information about the UP Book Tour online, and our website will also have that information as well. Thank you very much, Beverly Mathern and Sue Harrison, for being here today.
Thank you, Stan. Okay.